This prayer, you all will understand the meaning. It is on Swami and his Purva Chariram Shirdi. Namaste Divya Rupaya, Namaste Satyamurtiye, Namaste Shirdi Vasaya, Sai Babaya Namostude, Satchitananda Rupaya, Maya Tamvilasine, Nirmalaya Prashantaya, Sai Nathaya Te Namaha. Om. So this sloka was both on Shirdi and Prashantivasa. So the meaning is very, very simple. I may not have to add much on that. Very simple sloka it is. Now we'll go to the introduction of the speaker. Today, even now I also am still looking at the thresholds. Anytime our brother Satyajit should come in. Yesterday evening he sent me a message that his fever has come down, but throat is very, very bad. I am not able to talk. So I didn't trouble him yesterday evening or night. Today morning I talked to him. His voice was very bad. Still he said, I will at least try to come here, prostrate before Swami, and then sit with you all. Possibly if I could talk one or two words, I will try. I always believe our Swami will do some wonders in a trice, and I am still expecting him. But anyhow, always our Abad Bhandava and Samay Sanjeevi is our Bishu, and when I phoned him up, actually he was traveling from Kerala. Today morning he reached Puttaparthi. Immediately he said, sir, I'll be too happy to speak on Anandadayini. So we all should feel immensely thankful to him, and he doesn't require any introduction. But only thing is, I can introduce his family. Normally, you know, we have heard of adoption of a son, or I think maybe a daughter also may be adopted. Or in banking terminologies, we call it village adoption, because that is an economic development we all do from the country level, village adoption. But Swami has taken many families, I never deny it, he's adopted so many families, but still one or two in the family may be not so much attached to Swami. But Bishu's family is totally wedded to Swami, one and all. I still believe, though they may sing on Krishna, Rama, or so many things, but for them, I think the Ekarupam, the only Rupam which they can visualize themselves, I think could be only Swami and our Sai Vasa, nobody else. So, he was a student. The family was all students here except for his father. They all have studied here. They are all with Swami only, and they don't want to go elsewhere. For all their qualification and academic brilliance, they all may be occupying some other positions, very good positions in the elsewhere in the world, but no, they feel they should be with Swami, adhere themselves to all Swami's projects and work for Swami's projects. They all have done extremely very good work in Orissa, which is their native state, but I will say anymore, their native state is only Puttaparthi, not even Andhra Pradesh. They are very well wedded to Prashanthi Nilayam. He is working in our Radio Sai. You would already heard his interviews and all in Radio Sai so many times. And he is an excellent orator. And I don't want to say more. He is devoted to Swami like anything. They don't just preach. They practice and then they preach which Swami wants. They do not speak from what they read from the books. They speak from the heart. They speak from what all they have learned from others who are also devotees of Bhagavan. So I don't want to stand between both yourself and Bishu at this stage, and I wish he takes over the microphone and address you all for another 1 hour on the lovely subject Anandadayini. Om Shri Sai Ram.
Om. Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodaya. Divine Universal Mother, the most auspicious, the most benevolent one, the most gracious, the most beautiful one, please fill my heart with pure love. Let this pure love that fills my heart express in the form of good and noble looks through my eyes. Let this pure love from my heart translate as sweet and loving words through my mouth. Let this pure love from my heart encourage me to do good acts through my limbs. Let this pure love from my heart fill every core of my being. Let every cell of my body pulsate with this pure love. Let this pure love inspire me, propel me to engage always in tasks which are good for the welfare of everyone, everywhere, all the time. This Navaratri is dedicated to the aspect of the Divine as Mother. And the highest expression of the mother as a goddess is Mother Gayatri. Gayatri Chandasam Mata. Among all the scriptures and the Upanishads and the mantras, Gayatri Mantra is the most powerful and vital one. And what I shared with you now is a meaning of the Gayatri Mantra, which Bhagwan had explained to a devotee who said, "Swami, I do not understand the meaning of Gayatri Mantra. I do not understand what is Bhuvar Loka, Suvar Loka. I do not understand materialization, radiation, vibration. I do not understand these abstract concepts. Tell me, what is Gayatri Mantra?" This is what Bhagwan explained in the interview room. It is all about pure love. Anandam, 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 anandanand anandam, anandanand anandam, anandanand anandam, anandanand anandam, 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 ஆனந்தம் 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 ஆனந்த நந்த ஆனந்தம் ஆனந்த நந்த ஆனந்தம் 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 ஆனந்தம். Whenever you think of the divine, so many ananda moments flood your mind, isn't it? The Lord is so gracious that He always ensures that our lives have those ananda moments, because He has come to enrich our life. He has come to make our life tasty. He has come to make our life charming and interesting. And in the tapestry of every devotee's life, you will find those ananda moments. Just imagine what would be Krishna avatar, what would be the avatar of Lord Krishna if there was not the episode of how Krishna went into the Gokul Vrindavan, into the houses of Gopikas and broke the pots and ate the butter. What would Krishna avatar be if Krishna did not go into the banks of Chitravati and collected all his playmates and played in the sands? What would Krishna avatar be if he did not call all the children and make those pyramids and broke the pots? What would Krishna avatar be if he did not dance on that serpent Kaliya? What would Krishna avatar be if he did not regale and enjoy the Rasa Leela with the gopis and gopalas of Vrindavan? And it is the same. Many years ago, Bhagwan had started the Prasanthi Brass Band. It was the 60th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan, and all the boys were preparing in various ways to offer their love to Swami. And this idea came up that we will now form a brass band, and that was the genesis of the Institute Brass Band, which performs on every important occasion now. So those were the initial years. And Bhagwan used to spend so much time, he would often come to the hostel or to the ground and watch the proceedings and the practice sessions of the boys. So one day, Bhagwan suddenly came to the hostel. Everybody was actually in the mandir. In front of the hostel, there is a notice board, and below the notice board, there is a small area, a small enclosure, and generally the brass band boys would keep their instruments in that enclosure. So on that day, Bhagwan suddenly started towards the hostel, and everyone dashed to the hostel. I remember it once happened when I was a student, and you know, I remember how I ran like that day. Perhaps, you know, you ran like as if you are possessed by someone, you know, as if there are 100 ghosts chasing you. You ran with so much madness because you want to reach the hostel before Swami's car reaches the hostel, because you want to open Swami's car door. And it was like a 100 meter dash. And so that day, same thing happened. The boys ran to hostel. Bhagwan came. Bhagwan's car door was opened. And suddenly all these band boys, they picked up their instruments and they assembled in the quadrangle. This is a great opportunity to offer to Bhagwan whatever they have practiced. And Bhagwan saw the students standing and he said, okay, now play whatever you have practiced. And they were about to start playing. And suddenly the drummer noticed that his sticks are not there. He had got the drums and he had asked another guy to get the sticks, but there are no sticks. And Swami is told, start playing. And they were at a loss. You know, you cannot tell Swami anything. Well, start playing. Why? What are you waiting for? They were just looking at each other.
And then Swami looks at the drummer, what happened? Start playing. And he's like clueless. He says, Swami, I don't have the sticks. Oh, you don't have the sticks? How are you going to play the drums without sticks? I mean, what is this? You are a drummer, you don't have the sticks. No, Swami, I think I'll... Go check. So he runs to the quadrangle, he checks that, he comes back, no sticks. No sticks? What sort of a drummer you are? You want to play with your hands? And then everybody is tensed. And then Bhagwan suddenly flashes a beautiful mischievous smile and his hands which were locked behind just comes up and he gives those two sticks. In that hurry when everyone was rushing to the house, to the quadrangle, Bhagwan knew how to add that Ananda moment in their lives. Similarly, when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, this was way back in the 60s and 70s, next to Bhagwan's bungalow, there are a few cottages. And in one of the cottages, Mrs. Ratanlal used to reside. And just like it used to happen in Prashanthi Nilayam, where Bhagwan in 50s and 60s, you do not know to which house he is going to visit at what time of the day and do what. He has visited almost all these houses in East Prashanthi and South Prashanthi. Nobody had any clue when Bhagwan would come and suddenly peep into their kitchen or peep into their living room. So in Vrindavan, one day Mrs. Ratanlal was in the kitchen. And Swami had asked her to make fruit salad. So she had finished making this bucket of fruit salad. And after that, she was busy in the kitchen doing another item. And again, that mischievous Krishna that Swami is, he goes into her home and Swami goes along with two other boys. And he says, shh, shh. So quietly he instructs those two boys to pick up that bucket and come back to Vrindavan. And Mrs. Ratanlal, she finishes her cooking. She was saying, "Main to mere dhun mein mast thi." She was singing some bhajan and she was cooking in the kitchen. She had no idea Bhagwan had come and done this drama. So finished her cooking and she was about to take this fruit salad bucket. It is not there. She was very tensed. She thought, maybe I am forgetting things. You know, I had just finished. Maybe I already sent it. Maybe I kept it there and came. I don't know. She was very tensed. You know, Bhagwan has asked you to make the fruit salad and the bucket is not there. So she goes back and Swami asks, did you make the fruit salad? I have done. Where is it? Swami, it's not here. No, it is not here. So she goes back and she goes and comes forward, you know, back and forth. So that is how Bhagwan adds that Ananda moment, finally that mischievous smile, and Swami asks them to unveil that bucket. And one day, Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. There were four students in the days of old bungalow. And as Bhagwan came out for darshan, these four students who were standing on the slope, Bhagwan suddenly asked the first boy, "Who are you?" And this boy said, "Swami, I am so and so." He mentioned his name. Swami said, "No, not right answer." So he asked the second boy, "Who are you?" So he thought, maybe I should give something little more philosophical answer. So he said, "Swami, I am your child." Swami said, "No." Then he moved on to the third boy. "Who are you?" And this boy said, "Swami, I am a spark of the divine. Swami said, no. So the fourth boy thought, everything that can be said has been said, and everything Swami is rejecting. So finally, this fourth boy says, Swami, you and I are one. Swami says, oh, is that so? Then why don't you go and give darshan? Let's see how many people come there. When you spell out great truths from the lips and not from the heart, the Lord knows. Similarly, you know, when Bhagwan would interact with the primary school children, we all know how Bhagwan used to have his jolly time with the primary school children, how when they used to have ice cream, Bhagwan used to say, see, God is like ice cream, God is cool like ice cream, God is soft like ice cream, God is sweet like ice cream. That is how he used to instill the love of God to the little ones through the medium of ice cream. And finally, Swami used to say, God is joy like ice cream. And the ice cream used to come from a factory made by a company called Joy. It was a joy ice cream. Swami said, God is joy like ice cream. And you know, the kids would be regaled. And one day Swami asked one brother, little one, hey, how many brothers do you have? So this boy got up and he had two brothers. So he got up and said, Swami, I have two brothers. Swami said, no. When someone asks you, you should tell, all are my brothers. Oh, okay, okay. Then Swami went, picked up another boy. Hey, how many sisters do you have? He said, Swami, all are my sisters. Very good, good boy. And then, third one. How many wives do you have? Swami, all are my wives. I said, all are. Only one is your wife. But you know, Swami had great fun. He did not reprimand that child, because you know that child was saying with so much of innocence. I remember when Bhagwan would come and talk to the primary school children and he would talk to the institute boys. If the primary school child says, Swami says, where did you come from? You know, Swami would ask many times, where do you come from? Where did you come from? And the primary school kid, yes, he is trained, but he would very sincerely say, Swami, I have come from you. And Swami would be so happy, he will call the VIPs and say, see, look at this boy, what devotion. He says, I have come from you, that is how you should be. Very clear, see, good boy. Then he would come to the college and he would ask, hey, where did you come from? And this fellow will tell, Swami, I have come from you. Swami will tell, stop your philosophy. Ni Vedantam petko, Swami will tell. Because God is Bhava Priya. He goes by the feeling. He does not go by a mind or by the lips. So many such beautiful instances flood the mind. We all know how Bhagwan once taught very beautiful lesson to Professor Kasturi. Professor Kasturi, in the initial years of being a devotee, he had seen that Swami, whenever he would see that a devotee has a ring in his hand, Swami would ask, where did you get this ring? And this person will say, Swami, I bought it for 10 rupees or 15 rupees or 20 rupees and it would be a stone ring. And Swami would say, give me that ring. You should not wear cheap rings. And Swami would create a ring which would have his portrait. So So Professor Kasturi, who was just coming to Bhagwan's fold in the 50s, he had noticed that whenever there was someone with a ring, Swami would ask for that ring and convert it into a gem. And so he thought, why not I try? And he thought, why only a cheap ring? I will buy a gold ring. So he actually made a gold ring with a stone. And from next darshan onwards, whenever Swami used to call him, he would go to Swami and, you know, he would do like this and talk. Whenever he is talking to Swami, he would keep doing. Whenever he was taking namaskar, he would take namaskar like this. And if Bhagwan asked him to show a letter, or if he is reading any script, he was the editor of the Sanatana Sarathi, he would open it like this. Waiting, when will Bhagwan notice, when this weariness in end, when will Bhagwan notice that shining object? I have paid so much money for it. And months passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, 6 months passed, and you know, it's becoming a pain now. He was not a well-to-do person. He had really very difficult time meeting his, making his both ends meet. It was this desire of having this photograph of Swami. So 1 year passed, no sign from Swami, no acknowledgement. It's very strange. Swami somehow just doesn't notice. 1.5 years passed. And now he was getting frustrated. At the end of 2 years, Bhagwan called him to Bukkapatnam. Swami was inaugurating a school in Bukkapatnam. Bhagwan's education mission started way back in the 1950s. He actually inaugurated the school, which is just a few kilometers away in Bukkapatnam. And Swami had called Professor Kasturi to give a speech on that occasion. And after he finished the speech, they returned to Prashantinilayam. Bhagwan was very happy with his speech. And Professor Kasturi now thought, this is the appropriate time. You know, he's so happy with me. He's really in smiles because I have done a good job. So that day, when he was in the interview room and he again tries to make his hands as conspicuous as possible, and it was becoming almost ridiculous the way he was showing his hand to Swami. And that day Swami said, hey Kasturi, show me that ring. He immediately removed and gave it to Swami. And then, you know, now what will Swami do? And Swami said, where did you get gold ring? Where did you get this? No, Swami, I just got this ring. Very good. And Swami said, no, give me. Why should you wear cheap rings? So Swami took that ring. And Swami did, once he blew over it. Second time he blew over it. What would happen generally, which I have also seen on so many occasions, is Bhagwan, whenever he used to convert one ring to another, or if suppose in a ring out of three diamonds, one diamond has fallen off, the Bhagwan would take the ring and he would blow, and the diamonds would get reinstated or the ring would change. I've seen that on so many occasions. So now Professor Kasturi was waiting what it would change to. So Swami blew second time and nothing had happened. And now Swami blew for the third time and he was waiting what would come out of it, and there was nothing there. Swami's hand was empty. And he was like, Swami, I mean, at least I had a gold ring. My money also gone. You didn't convert the ring. I mean, I have saved so much money and I had got this ring. Okay, you didn't want to give me a new ring. Why did you take away my gold ring? It's not a 10 rupees ring. And Swami says, Kasturi, I know. You wanted a ring with my portrait on it so that anyone who sees you will recognize that you are a great devotee of Baba, and they will applaud you and they will praise you and they will worship you. Oh, such a great devotee of Baba. Baba himself has created a ring and given him. That's what you want, no? You know, Swami, I just got that ring. Swami said, Kasturi, don't try to capture me on your finger on a ring. If you want to capture me in your heart. That is my home. So Professor Kasturi got the message. But you know, he was actually very sad. Because 2 years he had waited for this. And now, Swami actually was so harsh. At least he would have given back the gold ring. Why did he take it back? He could have sold it and got back his money. So, you know, when Swami finishes a conversation in the interview room, see, no one would want to get up and go. So what would generally happen is, Swami would himself get up and he would himself open the door and, you know, he will stand at the door and, you know, he'll flash a beautiful smile at you and he'll ask you to go. Some people who are looking outside, you know, they'll feel so happy, everything is over and everything is fine. So you have no option but to actually get up and go, because otherwise no one will get up and go. So same thing Swami did, you know, Swami went to the interview room door and he opened and said, yes, Kasturi, you can go back. So Professor Kasturi was, you know, he had almost become lifeless. So with heavy steps and a drooping heart and as if there was this Himalaya on his heart, he started walking back out of the interview room door. Just when he was about to step out, Swami said, hey, Kasturi, come here. You're feeling very sad, no? Swami said, come here. And then Bhagwan waved his hand and materialized a Navaratna ring. A ring which had 9 gems. And he put it on his finger and then said, Kasturi, people believe that if you have a Navaratna, then you will have the anugraha, the grace of the 9 planets. Because the Navaratna, the 9 gems, will draw you the grace of the 9 planets, and that is how you will be safe. Swami said, this is what people believe. People do not realize that my grace, my anugraha is greater than all the powers of the Navagraha. My anugraha can cancel the evil designs of any of the Navagrahas. But still, people do not realize this. By the by, you also haven't realized this. Until you realize that my anugraha is the greatest and that is the only thing that you should aspire for, have this ring. He did not give his portrait. Have this ring which will remind you that what is most important in life is my anugraha. Professor Kasturi was such an interesting person. You know, we know of so many people who have drawn the love of God through music, through art. And that is how we hail the Lord as Ganapriya, Bhavapriya. But you know, there are those exceptional people who have actually drawn the grace of God through their wit, through their presence of mind, through their beautiful quick thinking, through their presence of mind in the presence of the cosmic mind. So one day, Bhagwan had gone for a drive. And when Swami returned, Professor Kasturi was with Bhagwan in the car. So when Swami returned, he alighted from the car and he was walking to the interview room. And Professor Kasturi was trailing behind, step after step. And he was someone, you know, who never wanted to miss a moment with Swami. Right from the time, the first day he met, Swami had told him, "You are going to write my story. You are going to be the biographer." And Swami also actually gave him that many opportunities to watch him at close quarters. So on this occasion, Bhagwan came out of the car. He was walking into the interview room. And as he was stepping in, Professor Kasturi was slowly tiptoeing. He also wanted to go inside the interview room along with Swami. Silently. And as Bhagwan was walking, Swami called three guests who were there on the portico inside the interview room. So all those three guests went inside the interview room. And after that, Swami went and quietly, like a little mouse, no? Professor Kasturi also was sneaking in into the interview room. And Swami said, "Hey, Kasturi, where are you going?" Swami said, "See, the interview room entry door is not for everyone. There are in the interview room now three murtis. There were three people, Satya Murti, Krishna Murti, Narsim Murti." So Swami said, "See, there are three murtis there in the interview room. Are you a murti? You are not murti. How can you come inside?" So Professor Kasturi, you know what he said? "Swami, there are three murtis inside, but if I also join, it will become purti. It will become complete." And Swami had such a big laugh, he allowed him in. And you know, that is the Lord. You know, He can convert any moment into a moment of bliss. It can convert any moment into a moment which you cherish. You know, once when Bhagwan had gone to the primary school, it was the initial years when there was a solar water heater system installed in the primary school. So, they had invited, the primary school teachers had invited Bhagwan to inaugurate this solar water heating system. So, there were taps which were connected to the solar water heating system. So, they wanted Swami to open the tap. So, the first stream of hot water flows. You know, imagine Bhagwan, what all he used to do for us. He will come to open a tap of just because you have set up a solar water heating system. It's not as if you've made a building and you want Swami to, you know, it's like, "Swami, we have opened one more room. Swami, we have put a new lock. You please come and unlock." That is how. But Bhagwan did all that. He did all that. Because he always wanted to give us those moments in life. So that day Bhagwan went. And when he opened the tap, the water which is supposed to gush out like this suddenly came from top. There was a problem in the tap. Nobody had tested suddenly. And whole Swami's robe was wet with hot water. Now imagine what the situation will be. Everybody was tensed. All the teachers thought, that's it. This is the final visit of Swami to the primary school. Swami saw everybody so tensed. They are like scared to death. Swami said, "See, I inaugurated the tap. I had the first bath. Nice, no?" That is how the Lord converts every moment into a moment which we can cherish. Once, when a parcel had come to Vrindavan, Swami asked Brother Satyajit to open the parcel. So he opened one flap of the parcel, and Swami told him, "Hey, be careful, what is it?" So he opened and he saw that there is pickle there. He told Swami, "It's all pickle bottles. Somebody, some devotee has sent a box of pickle bottles." Swami said, "Hey, be careful. It might drop on your shirt. Your shirt will become red. Be careful." And Brother Satyajit is thinking, Swami, I mean, do you have to really instruct me how to open a pickle bottle? I mean, do I look so dumb? But you know, you cannot tell that to Swami, of course. So, he just opened the pickle bottle and he showed it to Swami. Swami said, Petko, very good, keep it back. And then they go for food session with Bhagwan. They finish the dining session. Swami is returning again along the same way. Again Swami asked Satyajit, hey, what is there in that? Tell Swami, I showed you the pickle bottle. No, just see, what is there? So he opens another flap. And as he's opening another flap, so he takes out one bottle. And when he opens that other bottle, that whole thing gushes out and falls on his shirt. And when he's startled, and when he opens his eyes and he sees Swami is standing 2 meters away and he's holding his stomach and laughing. He's laughing to the bones. He's shaking with laughter. Well, see, I told you it will fall on your shirt. See, your shirt has become red. I told you. Whenever he gives any instruction, you know, we should always think that, yes, I am the dumbest. All I have to do is just follow his instruction. You just become a medium, become an instrument. You should not apply your mind. You should not think. But Swami used humor in such a beautiful manner to convey such important lessons. One day, Professor Kasturi, he was the state president of Karnataka Satya Sai Seva Organization. For many years, he was the state president of Karnataka Sai Organization. And he was with Swami. He was handling many responsibilities. And he thought this handling this responsibility of being the state president of Karnataka was becoming quite a burden. Because there are too many things to handle. And a lot of egos to be dealt with, and different people think different things, and you know, he wanted to have an easy life. Anyway, he's there serving Swami directly. Why take up all this burden of administration of an organization? And so he thought he will put it very sweetly and nicely to Swami and get out of that job. So one day when he was with Bhagwan, he said, Swami, hey me, Swami, this... Swami, I want to be just a small instrument in your hands, Swami. Now, what happened? Swami, I don't want all these big posts, Swami. I don't want to be the president of Karnataka Satya Sai organizations. I don't want all this power and position, Swami. I just want to be a little instrument in your hands. Swami said, what happened? You're doing that role, no? No, Swami, I just want to be an ant at your lotus feet, Swami. I don't want to be the state president of Satya Sai organization. I want to be just a dirt at your lotus feet. Swami said, what makes you think that you are now not an ant and a dirt in my lotus feet? What makes you think that you are now not an ant? When did you think that you are a big fellow just because you are the state president of Satya Sai organizations, Karnataka? But Professor Kasturi had those wonderful times with Swami, and Swami also had used very, very memorable ways to teach him very beautiful lessons. So one day, Bhagwan calls Professor Kasturi and tells, Professor Kasturi, Chudu Kasturi, you are the editor of Sanatana Sarathi. And this newspaper in Hyderabad, they are asking who is the editor of Sanatana Sarathi. And they want a picture of yours. They want to put it in the newspaper because you are doing so much work and nobody knows who are you. The world, it's high time the world knows about you. So, I will take a picture and we'll send it to this magazine. And Professor Kasturi is actually so happy. And Swami says, you go, just get dress up properly and come. Because, you know, I will take the picture, we'll send it to this newspaper. And Professor Kasturi is so excited, he just dashes into his room, because first time Swami is, his picture actually is going to come, you know, because he's been slogging for so many years with Sanatan Sarathi, nobody knows who is Professor Kasturi. And in a national newspaper, 30,000 readers will finally get to see Professor Kasturi. So he goes and he shaves and starches and, you know, new clothes. He comes back fresh and ready in the interview room, and Swami is so happy. Swami is flashing a beautiful smile. Professor Kasturi's smile is 10 times bigger than Swami's smile, and Swami says, are you ready? He says, yes Swami, I'm ready. Swami says, Swami, ready, steady. Yes Swami, I'm ready. Be careful, this is great photo. This is going to be a very good photo. Professor Kasturi, be steady. Shall I click? Yes Swami, I'm ready. And then, you know, Swami clicks, click. And Professor Kasturi jumps, because there is a mouse that pops out of the camera and lands on him, and he's like jumping. Oh my God, what happened? What is this ghost which has fallen on me? Swami was supposed to take a picture. Why is he frightening? So what did fall? Was it a rat, a cat, a ghost? What is that? And Swami says, Kasturi, you have got a chance to do God's work. You have got this honor to carry my message to so many people. Just for a little recognition, you become so, you fall a prey to such name and recognition. What is the greatest honor that you can have? What is the greatest adulation that you can have? What is the most important, even greater than this? What other privilege can you have, Kasturi? You are with me. You are doing my work. Why are you falling prey to this little demons of ego? Once when Bhagwan had taken him to Kashi, you know, Professor Kasturi had this wish that I should get a mantram. You know, you have all this, you get a mantra from a guru. Generally, many people consider that, you know, if you have got a mantra from the guru which is given to you in your ear, which is a secret, and you chant that mantra, it's like you've got a secret formula from a guru which you chant and nobody knows about it, and that is your sure shot way to liberation. And Professor Kasturi always was feeling that Swami somehow has not given me that mantra. And one day when he was with Bhagwan and they had actually gone in a pilgrimage, I think they were in Kashi, and Swami, Professor Kasturi is thinking, this is the right place. This is the place where Swami has to give me that mantra, and he did not know how to tell Swami, you know. So he was actually fasting, hoping that somehow Swami will give him that mantra. And so that day, he's sitting next to Swami and he says, Swami, I want this mantra. I said, what? Swami, I want this mantra. Why? Swami, then I can go close to you. And Swami says, you are sitting next to me, Professor Kasturi. How much more close you want to be? How much more close you want to be? Why are you getting paranoid about all these paltry things? When you have, Swami says, you have the Kalpataru, the wish-fulfilling tree, and you go and ask the wish-fulfilling tree, give me coffee powder. That is what Swami says. Why do you become so mean? Why do you not recognize the chance that has come your way? Bhagwan had his own ways of teaching lessons, and he would do it in a manner you can never ever forget. There was this student who was well built. And Swami knew that he loved food. And Swami had told him on so many occasions to look after his weight, because he was just bloating. He was a good singer. Swami used to love his singing and his talks. So in Kodaikanal, Swami had gone up the hilltop bungalow, and there Swami had arranged lunch for all the students, Kodaikanal. And after everyone had lunch, Swami said, all of you have your lunch, and it was a banquet. You know, whenever you travel with Swami, you choose the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added on to you. It is so true. If you travel with Swami, you will get the reception as deserving a king. So, it was a lavish banquet which was served in the hilltop bungalow, and everyone had a good food. And Swami said, all of you finish food and then I will give you photographs, individual photographs. And just when everyone was finishing food, Swami called the organizers, the ladies there who had organized. Swami pointed out this boy, Vijay, and Swami said, see, this boy, he loves food. Serve him more, serve him more. So, when he finished his plate, suddenly there was more food. And Swami, he's indicating through his eyes to some more lady, no, serve him, baga, baga, baga pettali, he loves you, give him. So that guy, he's gobbling up now, because all the boys have gone for the photograph, and Swami has told, you know, now Swami has instructed these ladies that you serve him well, so they will not leave him, you better finish. So one after another, he's trying to finish it, and one after another, ladies are coming and pouring it, please, I cannot eat, no, Swami has told, we have to take care of you well, you have to eat, no, I cannot, I want to go, no, you have to finish. Father, Swami will go after us. Swami will blast us. Why you didn't serve him well? So they kept on pouring his plate. Papam, he somehow gulped and finished. And you know, he was, after that, he was just running, went down, and Swami was giving photographs on the lawn. And you know, just when he finished, Swami had finished giving photographs to every member, and Swami just walking out. I mean, oh, bad luck. Bad luck. Swami said, you have to decide what is important for you. Is world important for you? Or God important for you? Is food important for you? Or the divine important for you? Is the temporary important for you? Or the permanent important for you? No one can reach the lotus feet of God with a mad desire for food. Again, on another occasion in Kodaikanal, this boy was there, and Swami was again in a dining session, and that day food was already served and there was laddu. And this boy, he used to actually sit last in the corner as far as possible from Swami. Swami would be here. Swami's table would be here. And you know, all the boys would be sitting. He would sit right here so that he does not want Swami to see how much he is eating. Should be far from the gaze of the Lord so that he can completely relish and satisfy his Vaishwanara. So, that day, food was served and there was this laddu, and he could not control, because that laddu was his favorite. It was a big laddu, fantastic color, that aroma itself was like, he was unable to even do Brahmarpanam. So, and Bhagwan started coming. You know, how it used to happen is Bhagwan would just always walk in the aisle. So, during Brahmarpanam, everybody is closing, and now Swami is coming, so he better close his eyes. So Swami came and he closed his eyes, and then Swami went back, and Brahmarpana mantram was over, and Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, and he opens his eyes and his laddu is not there. And he is furious. He's saying, hey, give back my laddu man. Hey, who's taking my laddu? Hey, give my laddu man. Hey, why do you take my laddu? Hey, we didn't take, man. Hey, we didn't take here. Why will you take your laddu? As if you don't have our laddu. Hey, give my laddu, man. And then there was Bhagwan's cook who was standing behind Swami. He looked at him finally, and that fellow indicated that it is Bhagwan who has done it. So quietly he sat down. See how Bhagwan goes No, it is these moments, Bhagwan could have told him, hey, don't waste food. But Swami creates these moments, he creates those Ananda moments, because even till this day, you know, whenever he eats an extra laddu, that thing comes. Whenever he eats little more than extra in a lavish gathering, that thought comes. Once I ran after food and I lost God. Once this food deluded me about the divine. That thought never goes. That is how the Lord teaches. He makes it so humorous. He makes it so interesting. And he knows how to convert every sorrow of ours into joy. There was this boy many years ago in Vrindavan. And Swami knew that this boy had a tragedy in his family. And Swami would ask this boy, get up and speak. And he would not, you know, Swami, I cannot speak. I cannot speak, Swami. He would say, no, you speak. No, Swami, I cannot speak. Swami asked him persistently for 2-3 days. And then finally, that boy got up. And he narrated a story. He said, once, long time ago, many good people lived in a village. In that village, there was this youngster who was a smart guy. One day, because of his intelligence and smartness, he was able to move out of the village and go into a foreign country. And in those days, if someone actually went out of the village into a foreign land, he was considered a messiah. He has done something absolutely otherworldly. It was the days where everything was so small, limited for this village community. So when he came back, after his trip, the entire village crowded around him. And they said, tell us, what did you see? Tell us about what is your experience? And he was not saying anything. So they kept on pestering him, just like Swami was pestering this boy. So this boy, then this man got up and he said, okay, I will speak. How many of you answer my question, then I'll speak. How many of you have no clue of what I am going to speak about? Raise your hands. And everyone raised their hands. He said, all of you have no clue whatsoever of what I'm going to speak about. You are so ignorant. I don't want to speak to a crowd which is so dull and dumb. And he sat down. So day one over. The villagers thought, this fellow, what is this? No, we have to somehow make him speak. He is the most intelligent fellow of our community. He went abroad. He's not speaking. So next day they said, no, today we are ready. Today we are ready. You speak. So next day he got up. And he said, how many of you know what I am going to speak? Now they had decided. So everyone raised their hands. He said, all of you already know what I am going to speak. So what is there for me to speak? And he sat down. The villagers thought, what is this? This is too much. Every time he outwitted us, third day they told, no, today we are absolutely ready. You come and speak. The third day he went. How many of you have no clue of what I am going to speak? So what they did, only 50% raised their hands. Then he asked, how many of you know what I am going to speak? So another 50% raised their hands. He said, that is very good. All the people who know what I am going to speak, please tell those who do not know what I am going to speak, tell everything that you know. And he sat down. So, this boy who was not speaking, suddenly one day he got up and he told this story. Swami laughed so much. He was so happy. After that, for days, every day Swami would narrate this story. Whoever comes, Swami would narrate this story. Another group, interview group, Swami would narrate this story. And he would laugh. Every time this boy was there, Swami would narrate the story and laugh. Every time everyone was into peals of laughter. And that boy, the number of times Swami narrated this story and the way he was narrating it and every time improvising it and making it interesting and beautiful and adding all the similes and side interesting asides to it. And this boy, after some time, he totally forgot his sorrow. Totally forgot his tragedy. That is what God does. He knows. You know, once there were four people who were having a get together, and one person got up and he cracked a joke. And all the three laughed. They laughed holding, you know, their stomachs because it was such a fantastic joke. So after some time, this fellow got up again and he cracked the same joke. And now, you know, they just smiled. Yeah, same joke. I mean, how many times can you laugh? So after a few minutes, this fellow got up and again said, "I will tell a joke." And he narrated the same joke. And now, you know, they start giving plastic smiles. I mean, you almost want to tell her, please shut up. I mean, what do you think we are? Why are you making a mockery of us? Fourth time he gets up and he tells, "I'm going to tell a joke." He says, "Shut up." Then he says, "What I narrated was something that made you happy, was something that gave you joy. Why is it that you don't want to visit again and again what is giving you joy, but in your life what is giving you sorrow, you visit that again and again, again and again, again and again? My son did not do well in the entrance examination, otherwise he would have got into the engineering. Okay, your son could not do that, but you want to think again and again the same thing and think and be sorrowful again and again. Why can't you think of the happy moments in your life and smile again and again? Why, when it comes to smile, when you come to happy moments, you don't want to think, but when it comes to sorrow, you want to visit the only two or three things that are not good things that have happened in your life. You want to think only about them. Swami, I don't know why he never gave me a photograph with him. I don't understand why he has to do this. I mean, I love him. But he has done a million other beautiful things. In a million ways, he has touched you and transformed you, and he's touching and transforming you even now, but you don't want to think about it. So many ways he has helped your child become a beautiful individual. What Swami wants is that we ruminate on those moments which give us joy. And I was telling you how you can actually win the Lord if you are joyful. You can actually win the grace of God if you are smiling. Swami says in Summer Course 1979, the first mark of a spiritual person is his cheerfulness. If you have a castoral face, as Bhagwan says, if you are someone who cannot smile, you are miles, you are light years away from spirituality. What is the point? And you have someone who can solve anything on earth. If you have a problem, you can say, you don't have to say, "Oh God, I have a problem." You can say, "Oh problem, I have a big God." When you have such a big God who can do anything, why is it that you should ever cry? Why is it that ever a tear should come out of your cheeks? If you cannot smile, Swami says, do not ever get deluded into thinking that you are on the spiritual path. If you want to be on the spiritual path, first smile. Once, Bhagwan was upset with boys. And so the boys were trying many things to get Bhagwan's attention. And Bhagwan, you know, when he tests you, he will really squeeze you. And so the boys were trying every means of trying to somehow break the ice. Like it had become like 3-4 days, and Swami is like, you know what? Boys had almost as if they are anathema, as if, you know, he will catch an infection. So Swami was like keeping himself sticking to the wall when he was walking in the mandir. He wanted to be as far as possible from the boys. It is almost like he was being repelled by the boys. And every day this is what was going on. And the boys were thinking what to do, who will break the ice, how to go about it, how many days are we supposed to face this torture. And one day, Professor Anil Kumar was there. So Bhagwan came, and you know how Bhagwan used to be in those days. He will come out of the interview room for bhajan sessions also. He will look down. He doesn't want, even by mistake, his glance to fall on any inch of a limb of another student. So he would look down, and then he would come, and he will sit in the bhajan hall. He'll close his eyes. Bhajans would go on. He would never see anyone. And then he would open his eyes down, push the stool, look down and go back. So that is how he was putting the boys into the grind. Okay. So this was becoming too much for the boys to bear, and they didn't know what to do. You know, one day lost with God is a day lost with God. You can't get that day again. The most precious thing that we have in our life is time. When we give someone our time, we are giving them a part of our life. And when you have opportunity here to have spend your time with God, and God is just so far away from you, you know, it pains you so much. So Professor Anil Kumar was thinking what to do. He was someone who always was a champion of boys. That's what I had seen in our Kodaikanal trip also. He was one who would always, he would know how to bring a smile. He would know how to convert a dull session into a session of joy. He would take that liberty at his own risk. He would take that liberty with Swami. And he would do it not for his sake. He would do it for the boy's sake. So that day when Bhagwan was returning, he made bold and he said, Swami, I have to tell you one thing. I said, what? Swami, in your earlier avatar, in your Narasimha avatar, when Prahlada prayed, Swami, you were so gracious, because of the sincere prayers of Prahlada, Swami, you came out of the pillar and saved Prahlada and killed Hiranyakashipu. I don't know what is the prayer of these boys, Swami. The situation has changed so much. Their prayers are so intense that now you are actually going into the pillar. Swami was so mad at him that he just broke out in laughter and everything became normal. See, you can take that liberty with God when you are pure. When you are pure.
Raj Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini Jagadambe Mangala Karini Sai Raja Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini Jagatodharini Vitavinashini Jagato Tharini Vikravinashini Chira Sukhadaini Sai Janaini Chira Sukhadaini Sai janani Raja Rajeshwari Jagan Mohini.
See what the Lord wants to give us, Chira Sukhadayini. What He wants to give us is that happiness that is permanent. Chira Sukhadayini. He will give us what we want, provided we come to the stage so that we want what He wants to give us. He will go to any extent. Because ultimately He wants you to be happy. When James Sinclair came back to Prashanthi Nilayam after a disastrous flight, he was actually struggling in the air because the fuel in his plane was over and he was hovering and he did not know what to do, and suddenly in the sky he sees Swami's picture in the clouds, and miraculously his fuel tank gets full and he comes back, and straight he comes to Prashanthi Nilayam and he tells Swami, I don't know how to be grateful to you. Tell me, what can I do for you? Swami, please tell me, I have to do something. My life is for you. Swami, tell me, what do you want? One thing I want to do for you. And Swami says, Sinclair, I don't need anything. Sinclair, be happy. Be happy. That is all I want. I will do anything for you to be happy. You know, Mr. Unni, the accommodation in charge, in March 2010, he had a back problem. And when they did different tests, CT, MRI and blood tests, they could not find anything. Suddenly they located two hot spots below his spine and they suspected it could be cancer. His son came and he took him to Chennai to do more tests. And then it was revealed that it is not cancer, but it was an infection which had entered his body when he had undergone a dental root canal treatment. And before Unni sir went to Chennai, Swami said, he will come back. He will come back. And Unni sir went for rehabilitation. He stayed with his son for 1.5 months and he had to undergo physiotherapy and etc. etc. And he was alright. Physically he was everything fine, except that he was not able to walk now. Otherwise he was okay. He was on a wheelchair. He is someone who has worked from 5:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the night for 17 years after his retirement in the accommodation office. He came back and the ashram authorities told him, take it easy now, so serve for 5 or 6 hours a day now, you have done so much. And so he used to come for darshan on the wheelchair. This is in 2010, a few months before Swami left his physical form. And so one day, Bhagwan comes and Swami asks him, how are you? And he says, Swami, I am alright by your grace. I have come back. He did not know that Swami had told the doctors he will come back. He said, Swami, I have come back. Swami said, I know. How are you? But Swami, I am alright. By your grace, I am alright. And Swami, who was himself on the wheelchair, he asked him to take Pad Namaskaram. He touched Bhagwan's feet. Swami created vibhuti for him. And Swami blessed him profusely few months before April 2011, the next morning, Unni sir started walking, and even today you can see him. He is walking straight and agile, and he works at least 6-7 hours when he is almost more than 80 years. The Lord, He may be Himself on the wheelchair, but He will not want His devotee to be on the wheelchair. He will not want His devotee to be on the wheelchair.
Because that is the love of the Supreme Mother. That is the love of this cosmic person who does not know anything other than our welfare. When Brother Satyajit, in the initial years, in 96, when Bhagwan had taken him very close, to the initial years when Swami was training him for the important role that He wanted to bestow on him. So in those days, he would come to Mandir early in the afternoon. Our classes would be over generally by 3:30, and all the boys would come to Mandir after that, after 3:30. But Satyajit had the privilege of skipping the last class, and he used to come about 2:30 to Mandir. Swami used to spend almost half an hour, 1 hour with him alone, and then come out for darshan. Every day, even when he was a student, he had the opportunity to bunk classes and sit under Swami's lotus feet. So he had that great privilege. And Brother Satyajit was a great actor. He was one of those very dynamic persons in the hostel. I remember at that time I had just joined the hostel, and you know, he was someone who was you don't want to risk with him, because he was really a very dangerous character in that sense. He was a very dynamic person, and they had their group of guys who were really the stars of the hostel. You don't touch them. And I used to always wonder, this guy is so smart, how Swami never actually has spoken to him? You know, because he used to participate in all these dramas and he used to be there in all these extracurricular activities. But somehow Swami had never spoken to him for 5 years. So this was after he finished his 5 years, and Swami asked him to join for MBA. And that is when Swami started speaking to him. And so he had this opportunity, and you know, in all these 5 years, he was always part of the institute drama. He was always part of the convocation drama, because he was an excellent actor. And Swami used to, whatever chances he had, was always after the convocation drama, a picture with Swami or some moments with Swami. It was not anything that Swami recognized him personally as somebody, and just like he would give drama photographs to all the boys, he would give him also. But you know, being a part of the drama was very important for him. Being a part of the drama was really very close to his heart. In a whole year, he used to wait for that chance of acting in the drama, because you would get a main character role. So this was the time when he had now come into Bhagwan's proximity, and every day Swami was speaking to him. And so Swami tells him, Satyajit, now drama practice has started, right? I told, yes, Swami. So now you cannot come, no? You have to go for your practice. And he was like, Swami, I will manage, Swami. No problem, Swami. I will somehow manage, Swami. No, 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 no. You have to go. You're a main actor. You have to go for the practice sessions. It's okay. No problem. You do your part in the drama. And he used to say, you know, it went on for 2-3 days. Well, no, Swami, I will practice in the evening, Swami. We will just change the timings a little bit, Swami. We can manage, Swami. So I said, no, don't worry. See, you know, you have so many things to do. So you spend time, afternoon you go for practice. So anyway, I'm there, no problem. And it was going dilly-dallying like that every day. And Swami would tell him, no, you go for practice. And he would tell, no, Swami, I will come here and I will also manage the practice, Swami. I don't want to lose. The drama also I don't want to lose, Swami. Because, you know, drama, he would become the hero. He was the star of the hostel. And, you know, you cannot miss to lose that opportunity in the convocation drama. If you don't act, like everyone will ask, what, yeah, Satyajit didn't act. Very Satyajit. So, he did not, you know, every day this is to go on. Swami would tell, no, you go for practice. He would tell, no, Swami, I'm practicing, Swami. Somehow I will manage, Swami. And, you know, this made him think. Every day Swami was putting him through this. Every day Swami would pester him to go and act in the drama. And then he thought, no, there is something to it. And then finally he told one day, Swami, I'm not part of the drama. I will come only for a session. Well, what? Why you don't want to be part of the drama? You are the star actor. How the drama will happen? No, you go for the drama. This is okay. No, Swami. I want to come. I don't want to act in the drama. Are you sure you don't want to act in the drama? No, Swami, I don't want to act in the drama. No, how can you not act? No, Swami, I don't want to act in the drama. Please, Swami, I don't want to act in the drama. I want to be here. I want to serve you. Are you sure? Yes, Swami. And then, Bhagwan ensured that from that day, every practice session he went to watch the drama, Satyajit was there beside him. If you choose the kingdom of God, everything else shall be added onto you. You just wanted to be part of the drama. Now I'm giving you the chance of sitting next to me, watching the drama and listening to all the comments that I'm making, listening to every instruction that I'm giving about the drama, listening to every facet of the drama being told by me. He became the conduit. Everyone came to him now because they want to know what was Swami's feedback on the drama. He was the real actor of the drama. He was the real director of the drama. But you have to make that conscious decision. Do I want him and him and him alone? We have to make that journey from God is a nobody in my life to God is a somebody in my life to God is everybody in my life to God only in my life. God first in my life. Everybody else comes next. Only when we reach that stage of God first, everyone next, can we reach the stage of God only, and then we will experience only God, nothing else. Then you will have a power that will actually stun you. There was Mr. Rama Brahmam, who was the caretaker of the Vrindavan Ashram. I know I'll complete Vrindavan Ashram. He was someone who was, Swami was so happy with his service that one day Swami called him and just hugged him and told, "You are my Hanuman." Because you know, one day when he gave the invitation card of his granddaughter's marriage, which was a fortnight hence, and Swami blessed him. Swami said, "Huh, you go for the marriage. Your granddaughter, she loves you so much, you go for the marriage." So he had given that card to Swami, and that 1 week left, Swami didn't say anything to him. He cannot just go because he was a caretaker of the ashram. 3 days left, Swami doesn't tell him anything. Ram Brahm also doesn't ask anything. It is the day of the wedding. And Swami tells Ram Brahm, "Oh, you're supposed to go for the wedding, isn't it?" He tells Swami, "If you wanted me to go, you would have told me. If you have not told me, you don't want me to go." Swami called the people around. Swami said, This is a true devotee. When Mr. B.D. Jatti, who was the vice president of the country, he had come one day when Swami had retired. And he said, "I have a message from the Prime Minister and I have to see Swami now. Because this is a very important issue. I have to talk to Swami now and I have to return tonight. Tomorrow morning I have to report to the Prime Minister of the country. I have to see Swami now." Mr. Ram Brahmam was a caretaker of the Vrindavan Ashram. He said, "Swami has retired. I am sorry. No one can disturb Swami now." He said, "I am the vice president of the country." You may be the vice president of the country. You may be the president of the country. You may be the prime minister himself. I am sorry. When Swami has retired, without his instructions, we cannot disturb him. He said, "Do you know what I can do?" "You can do anything. I have no problem. But I will not allow you to go to Swami's room." And then Mr. Jatti gets frustrated. He says, "What do you expect me to do?" He said, "You can do what every devotee does. Go to Sairam shed, sit there and pray. Chant Sairam, Sairam." So he had no clue. He didn't know what to do. So the whole vice president and his party went to Sairam shed and they started chanting Sairam, Sairam. And after a few moments, Swami's door opened. It was night. Swami's door opened and Swami came. Bhagwan was in Prashanti Nilayam, and those days you didn't know when Swami would come to Vrindavan. You know, any day he would, because those were days when there was no security around Swami. You never know if Swami started his car, he's going to Gokulam, he's going to the petrol bunk, or he's going to Chikbalapur, or he's going to Bhagyapalli, or he's going to Bangalore. No one had any clue. He can go anywhere at any time. He had his own driver, and you know, no one ever had any clue where Swami is going when. So one day, suddenly Swami started off from Prashanti Nilayam and he went to Vrindavan. There were 3-4 boys who were sort of looking after Swami's room, and they used to sleep on the first floor. Mr. Ram Brahmam was the main caretaker and there were 3-4 boys who used to look after. So when Bhagwan came, Mr. Ram Brahmam was in the fields. He used to look after the fields and he used to grow many crops which could be useful for the boys in the hostel and for Gokulam. And So when Swami went, suddenly he went to his room and his room was locked. And then someone noticed that and they ran to call Ram Brahmam because Swami's room was locked. And all these boys who were sleeping, it was afternoon time, so all these boys, they were sleeping in front of Swami's room and perhaps they were not dressed appropriately. And so Swami came down, Swami called Ram Brahmam and Swami gave him a thorough firing. He said, what do you think of yourself? You don't know how to look after my building. You ask all sorts of people to go and sleep there. They have no manners. They have no culture. This is how you look after the ashram. What do you think of yourself? Fool. On and on Swami went. And Ram Brahmam was shocked. And Swami, after that, did not talk to him. And it was like, he thought, okay, maybe Swami today he is very angry. Tomorrow he'll be fine. Because Mr. Ram Brahmam was someone who is to get food for Swami. He would dine with Swami all the three sessions. Night he would go. He would press Bhagwan's feet in the night. And he would be the person who would manage everything about Swami. He was like Swami's secretary. And now Swami was not talking to him. So 2 days passed. 3 days passed and no one can see Ram Brahmam sir in that state, because Mr. Ram Brahmam was someone who had so much compassion for everyone who came, because you know, when God talks to you, we know how that person walks 7 inches above the ground and then everyone else also praises him. You know, when Swami talks to you, you are a hero, and when Swami doesn't talk to you, you are a zero. If you are seen how it is, you know, with the students and others, you know, you get carried away by that. So it is a natural phenomenon that Swami is not talking to someone. No, you almost feel that, you know, we have to ostracize him. You know, God does not like him, so we should not also not talk to him. If we talk to him, maybe God will associate me with him, so I should not talk to him. So if Swami is talking to that boy, I should become friend with that boy. You know, there'll be all these complexes. So generally, you know, if Swami doesn't talk to somebody, you know, you will feel very alienated. But all those students would go to Rama Brahmam, because he was the one who would take their case to Swami. He would tell Swami, that boy, Swami, talk to him, Swami, Papam. See, it's a very dangerous thing to do, because Swami will tell you, mind your own business. Who are you to recommend me? You think you have more compassion than me? But Rama Brahmam would always do that. He would get fired by Swami, but he would do that. And what will invariably happen is Swami will go and talk to that boy also. It's because of this sincere concern of Rama Brahmam. So nobody could see that Rama Brahmam sir himself was in so much pain. And 4 days passed, 5 days passed, and finally they told, you should do something, send a letter to Swami. So one day he wrote a letter to Swami. He told Swami, I don't know what you think of me. If you do not want my service, it is fine. But I cannot live like this. This is too much for me. Because he had stopped eating food and he had everybody was used to see that ebullient, joyous Rama Brahmam, and he was almost a shadow self of what he was, shrunk 10 times. And so he said, Swami, like this I cannot live. So he wrote a letter, Swami, I'm going back to my native place and I will never come again to Vrindavan. And I will tell all my generations also to not to come and see you. I will ensure that nobody comes. All my granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter also should not come and see you. That letter went and message from Swami, hey, call Rama Brahmam. So he went. He went. He did not go first. When that boy came and told that Swami is calling you, he told, go and ask Swami, will he from tomorrow have food sessions with me like he used to have all these days? Go and ask him. So that boy goes. Swami, Ram Brahmam, this is a request. He wants to know if you can again have all the three meal sessions with you. Swami says, okay, okay. Tell him yes. That boy comes back. He says, go and ask Swami, will he allow me to massage his feet like I used to do for all these years, every night? Will he give me that chance or not? Will it continue like before or not? Go and ask him. So this guy goes. Swami says, yes, call him. He says, third request, will Swami ensure that I am part of every work that he gives me? Will he ensure that I am involved and I am his servant, looking after everything in the ashram and looking after everything in this bungalow? Go and ask him. Basically, am I continuing as his secretary or not? Go and ask him. And Swami says, yes, yes, tell him. So he goes. He goes and he tells, Swami, what is this, Swami? What did I do? Your own boys, they sit, they sleep. How they sleep? When they sleep? How am I responsible? What they are wearing? What they are not wearing? Am I supposed to look after their boys? What they are wearing? Or am I supposed to go and look after the various functions at the ashram? Am I supposed to look after the institute? Am I supposed to look after the fields? Am I supposed to look after what these boys are wearing? Or you, what do you expect me to do? You simply decide, you get angry and unnecessarily I get blasted. What is all this, Swami? He goes on and on and on. Swami is like, no, alai me kadu. Chudu Ram Raman. No, nothing like that. No, Swami, what is this, Swami? How can you do this to me, Swami? What did I, you tell me what is my mistake? No, nothing like that, Swami. Swami is like, Ram Raman, no, nothing. I didn't tell anything. What do you mean you didn't tell anything? Swami was like, no, I didn't do. He's like, I didn't commit any crime. Please forgive me, Ram Raman. That is where you can reach if we have that purity, if we strive only for him, if we want only that chirasukha, only that permanent happiness, only him, because only he can give us that permanent happiness. If our focus is always that, if God is our priority one, we will always be God's priority one. And there will come a time when in your journey to become a servant of the Lord himself will become your servant. The Lord himself will be waiting, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do for Rama Brahmam? What can I do for Kasturi? Kasturi sir, one day when he was sitting in his room, is almost towards the fag end of his life, you know, he had become very old and he was sitting in his room. And you know, when people become old, they become so childlike. So one day he was just playing with a doll, you know, and there was this doll which when you key in, there would be a teddy bear which would keep beating the drum. So he was playing with that drum and Swami came. He had no clue that Swami is here. Swami came and Swami pushed that doll. And that doll fell down. And Kasturi sir, no, got up. Who is this suddenly? He got up. Swami said, hey, Kasturi, this is what I will do to you. Swami said, how I push this doll, that is what I will do to you. And you know what Professor Kasturi said, even at that advanced age? He said, Swami, if this is what you will do to me, look at what that doll is doing. Beaten and battered, that doll was still beating. Said, Swami, even if you do that to me, I will continue to beat the glory of your drum. I will continue to talk about you. I will continue to share your glory. I will continue to give every ounce of my energy. I will continue to beat the drum of your glory and your name. That is Professor Kasturi. How Swami shaped him so that he can become the mother of Prem Sai. Janani ma sai, Janani ma, Janani ma sai,
Janani Ma, Janani Ma, Sai Janani Ma, Janani Ma, Sai Janani Ma, Janani Ma, Sai Janani Ma. Janani Ma Sai Janani Ma.
This beautiful bhajan, there is one line which sums up what this bhajan is.
Prema Vahini Ma, Jnana Vahini Ma, Dharma Vahini Ma, Jnana Vahini Ma, Prashanti Vasini Chira Sukhadaini, Prashanti Vasini Chira Sukhadaini, Jaya Jaya Sai Ma. Jaya Jaya Sai Ma.
Prashanti Vahini Chira Sukhadaini. To me, that is the crux of this line. The one who is the Lord of Prashanti, he is the one who gives us permanent happiness. Swami says, this ashram is named as Prashanti Nilayam. It is not named as Satya Sai Ashram. It was not named as Sai Baba Ashram. It was not named as Shanti Sthal. He did not call it by any of the names. Sai Jyoti, Sai Vrindavan, he did not call any of these names. Swami called it Prashanti Nilayam because Swami said, ashram means a place where you do not have to do shrama. Ashrama. Shrama means exertion, work. Ashram traditionally means a place where you can just go and relax. Everything is taken care of and you know you can just live in that peace when there is no, absolutely no hindrance and disturbance. Everything is looked after. It's a pensioner's paradise. You can happily go. If you have some money, happily give your money and do nothing and be in peace. Swami said, this is not ashram. This is Prashanti Nilayam because this is an abode of supreme peace. It will give you supreme peace, but you have to work for it. It is not an ashram where you can sit quiet, eat food in the canteen and say, this ashram is not giving me prashanti, ashram is not giving me peace. You have to work for it. Go through Bhagavan's literature, work on your egos, work on your pride, work on your jealousy, work on your little habits which keeps nagging you and pulls you down. This ashram will create that ambience. It will create situations so that your ego is battered. To test you how much you have controlled your anger. To test you how much patience you have. This ashram is not a perfect place. This ashram will try to make you a perfect person. But to make you a perfect person, you cannot have a perfect road, perfect car. You cannot test them on a smooth road. You have to test the car on an undulating road. This ashram is undulating. Ashram has a lot of problems and it is designed that way so that you grow. It will give you prashanti. It is the abode of supreme peace. And it will give you because he is Prashanti Vahini. He is the one who is
supreme peace himself, and that is what he longs to give you. But if you have to go through something to achieve that, he will make you go through, because he is someone who is interested in your ultimate welfare. He is interested only in granting you that happiness which is lasting, not something which will just please you today and make you comfortable for now. He wants something which will take you to your goal and give you that bliss for generations to come, for lifetimes, which will elevate your soul so that one day you know that I and my Swami is one. My Lord and I, my Lord and I, my Sai and I, my Sai and I, my Lord and I, my Lord and I, my Sai and I, my Sai and I, my Sai and I are one. The light is in me, I am in the light, and finally, I am the light, I am that bliss, I am that happiness, I and my Father are one. Sat Chit Anandam, Anandam, Anandam.
Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu, Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavantu, Samastaloka Sukhino Bhavan. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
I will just end with a joke. There was this couple. They were together for many years. They were together like for 50, 60 years, which is sometimes quite a thing in some of the developed countries, you know. So all the journalists came and asked, how is it that both of you are together and there is so much of harmony between you? What is the secret of your marriage? And the husband said, oh, it's very simple. You know what? We have divided all our issues into major issues and minor issues. And I have decided, in all the minor issues, my wife takes the decision. In all the major issues, I take the decision. And no one challenges. We don't challenge each other. So I asked, so what are the minor issues? The minor issues are, where should we go for vacation? Which car should we buy? To which school should our kid go? Who should be invited to our house and for how many days? When should we plan to move into a new house? So all these are minor issues. She says, yes, these are all the minor issues. Who takes the decision? My wife takes the decision. And you are okay with it. I am perfectly okay with it. So what are the major issues? Major issues are, was it proper for Russia now to join the war along with Syria? Was it proper for Dhoni to still continue as the captain of the Indian cricket team? Is Obama, has he lived up to his promise of providing affordable health care to all? Is Narendra Modi living up to his promises? In all these matters, I give my opinions and my wife accepts.
No debates. That is the secret of our marriage. While that is true for a couple to be together, when it comes to God, all our major and minor issues have to be surrendered to Him. He has to take the decision whether we want to move to a new house or buy a new car, or whether I am going to have lunch today in South Indian canteen or the Western canteen, or what should be the menu today. I cannot tell God, God, you know what, I am giving you all authority to look after my life, but you know, you arrange the money for my phone. See, which phone to buy, I will decide. Because I'm not sure you really know. I mean, I don't know if you're really in tune with the times to know which phone really suits me. You know, you give me, you arrange that, you know, I get a good house. You arrange, get me a loan. But, you know, let me, allow me to modify the home as I want it. Because, you know, there is an understanding between us. We will modify the home. So it does not work like that with God. When you give it to Him, you have to give it to Him lock, stock and barrel. When you give Him, you should give Him the chance of feeding you, the chance of feeding you where, feeding you how much, feeding you how, feeding you when. You have to give Him completely. When you leave everything in God's hands, you will see God's hand in everything. Today, if I got this opportunity to speak, it is His grace. I was not one of the speakers meant to speak for the Dasara. Of course, there was a tinge of sadness. I thought maybe Swami didn't want to give me this opportunity. But there was another program in Kerala, so I was just returning last night. I had the opportunity to introduce Brother Satyajit. So I thought, okay, Swami has given this to me, so let me do this well. And I was trying to think what would be nice to say to introduce Brother Satyajit. And then the PRO calls and says, just be prepared, maybe there is an opportunity tomorrow. If we leave everything to His hands, He will know what is best for us. And He will do it in the most beautiful manner, most unexpected manner, and in a way that we will really cherish. I really cherish this session because to me it is an unexpected shower of grace. Thank you so much for your patient listening.